Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us your holy word. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, who caused it to be written, by your same Holy Spirit, it will enter into our minds, our hearts, and our wills. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for our text this morning, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 30. It is because of him that you, as of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. Well, here we have three words in that text that I want us to think about. In fact, those three words can sum up the Christian faith very succinctly and very deeply. But I want to remind you, first of all, of the Paralympics. We have had a wonderful summer, and if life in our nation was as great and as blessed as it was in those days, we should be a happier people. But in the Paralympics, we had people with great disabilities doing extraordinary things. And one of the most extraordinary that I came across was the armless archer bows out, but mark is made. And this is a man who took part in the archery in the Paralympics. His name was Matt Stutzman. He came from America, 30 years of age. And he took part in the archery. And the extraordinary thing is that this Matthew had no arms, neither right arm nor left arm, and yet he took part in the archery. How was it at all possible? Well, there's a picture of him here, and there's an account of how he did take part. First of all, how did he hold the bow? Well, he held the bow between his big toe on his left foot and the first toe on the left foot. So the bow was held in that gap between big toe and first toe. And then how did he hold the arrow when he had no arms? Well, he held the arrow between his big toe and his first toe on his right foot. And of course, he was sitting on a stool, and by a cord, he could pull the arrow to his mouth, and then with his eyes, he could focus and let the arrow go forth. Incredible. And there's a picture of him here. Unbelievable. But he said, I kind of hope I make everyone realize you can do whatever you want in this life if you try. Well, I think nobody could try harder and achieve more than that fellow, Matt Stutzman. But I'm glad he said, in this life. Yes, unbelievable achievements are possible in this life. But then as Christians, we are not just talking about in this life, but we're talking about eternal life, spiritual life, inward life of the heart and the mind. And here, St. Paul writing to these very self-confident at times Corinthians says, it is because God hath put you in Christ Jesus, who is now made for you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Four words, big words, but deep in meaning, and we must grasp these. Theology is good for you. It strengthens the heart and the mind. First of all, wisdom. Well, wisdom is the corporate, collective word that includes the other three, so we needn't spend much time on wisdom. Wisdom is really like the basket that holds the other three gifts together. And what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? What do you think is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Well, the answer is you can have a lot of knowledge, but you need not be very wise, because wisdom is the application of knowledge to a task. The doctor may have a lot of knowledge, but he's only a wise doctor if he can apply it to his patient. So also the teacher can be very well instructed, but to be wise must be able to put what he or she is saying into the lives of the pupils or the scholars. Likewise, the carpenter can be very knowledgeable about the skill that he has, but he has to be able to be wise to put it into practice. And so the housewife, likewise, has to know so much, and she's a wise woman if she puts it into practice. So really, wisdom is the collective word, the basket upon which you can put these other three. And these other three sum up the Christian faith. And remember, these Corinthians were not academics. They were ordinary people, and they were getting their lives into all sorts of tangles. But St. Paul encapsulates the gospel in these three words. Jesus Christ, he says, is made unto us. And it's three times. Jesus Christ is made unto us. Jesus Christ is made unto us. And the first is righteousness. Uprightness, without fault, morally and spiritually perfect. This is what Isaiah in the temple saw. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God's righteousness is unique. But that righteousness isn't just something static, something abstract. Because in Jesus Christ, his righteousness became a holy energy that outreaches to us and to the world to make others like God himself. That is why St. Paul can say, Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness, a righteousness that is by faith alone. But where is this righteousness found? Is it just an abstract like beauty or truth or something like that? No. Righteousness must always be associated with the great act of Jesus Christ. When he died the righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. Righteousness isn't just an abstract, it's an event. It happened in the cross when Jesus died that we might be forgiven, to remove all that is in us that is unworthy. He did that. But he also did it that we might be credited with all that he did that was so sublime and so saving, which was obeying the Father. I came to do your will, O God. And he did it perfectly. And therefore, in his cross, he not only removes our unworthiness, but places upon us his godliness, his holiness. And therefore, when we are in Christ, we are not only cleansed, but we are those who receive his holiness, his righteousness. Oh yes, bold shall we stand in that great day. Who art to our charge so lay, fully absolved through him we are. By what he did to remove our unworthiness and to give us worthiness of himself. Now that's righteousness, and it is ours by faith. And you know, we need to keep saying that, because we're always so conscious of failure, that we haven't been all that we need to be and ought to be. But Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. What did St. Paul say to the Romans? That in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed out of faith, out of the faith of Jesus Christ, to faith, to our faith as we trust in him. Now, I hope that's not too complicated for you, because that is absolutely supreme. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us as we believe. Stage one, act one, we have the righteousness of God in Christ on us. But then he says, secondly, he's made unto us sanctification. In other words, what God has placed upon us in righteousness, God wants to be put within us and worked within us in sanctification. And the word sanctify means to be separated, unto God and away from the world. He's made unto us sanctification. God is, because God sent his Son into the world, and God's Son came and gave his life for the world. No wonder St. Paul says, now then, if you're boasting about anything, now you boast about Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Not what you are or what you're doing or what you want to do. No! Let him who boasts, boast in Jesus Christ, who is made unto us righteousness, sanctification. Now then, this is often misunderstood by people within the church and people who are outside the church. Because they think, what about people who don't come to church? What about people who don't believe? Oh, they're very good people, and at Christmas they will be doing, giving wonderful things to charity and doing great things, and they do lovely things to their neighbours. Praise the Lord that they do. But that isn't sanctification. Sanctification is being separated. Separated how? You see, that point of view that about sanctification is that people could say, oh, the people who don't believe are all very nice people, and they are. But you know, if you're a Christian, or you go to church, oh, you've got another layer on top of you. You have got more points more value by going to church. Without going to church, you're just good. But now going to church and believing on the Lord Jesus and saying our prayers, we are very good. And the people say, oh, well, I'll just stay being good. But you see, that isn't sanctification. Sanctification is really being turned, doing a U-turn. In what way doing a U-turn? Well, you see, the people who don't believe in God. They don't want God. They don't want to pray to God. They don't want to learn about God. And yet the commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. But they say, I don't want to do that. And what is sanctification? Sanctification when in the person who is made righteous, they do a U-turn. You do a U-turn. Instead of saying no to God by the forgiveness and the givenness of the Holy Spirit, the person says, I want to know about God. I want to worship God. I want to say my prayers. I want to be like Jesus. That is sanctification, when we are separated to become like Jesus Christ. You know, you go to Bridlington and you may be able to see the crabs. And the crabs at Bridlington, you will notice, all walk sideways. And however much you would want picking up the crab and say, now walk forward, you can't. You can't do it. It's just not in the crab to be like that. It has to do more than a U-turn. It has to be made a different being. And what the Christian life is, a new being. If any person is in Christ, there is a new being. It doesn't change from that which didn't want to do to that which does want to do. And I read this week, or last fortnight, a book which says the greatest sin is not to pray. Because to pray is you are giving time and yourself to God. And not to pray is not to give yourself to God. And isn't this one of the things that is the characteristic of a person who is being sanctified? They want to pray. Now, it's not to be able to pray in wonderful language, beautiful poetry that people say, well, now that was a great prayer. No, no, no. Somebody has said that the greatest prayers begin with the letter O. Oh, God! And perhaps may not say anything else. But in that O, there is the expression of the heartfelt need, experience of the individual. And that's what God sees, and that's what God answers. We cry, Abba. We don't say the Aramaic word, no, but we say, Father, Father, Father. That is sanctification, when our hearts and our lives and our wills become more like Jesus and want to walk with Jesus. God hath made Jesus what we can't make ourselves, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Ah, that's the last word. Remember these words. Remember them. Remember them. Think about them. They are great. They are enriching. They are strengthening. We can't live on devotion. We have to live on doctrine. And here is three words that are doctrine: righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Redemption means release. Release. What a great thing. Oh yes, I meet a lot of elderly folk and always talking about their aches and pains and things like that. You know, they would love to be released from these. Well now then, there's going to be a great releasing in the future, either when we go to be with the Lord, when we leave this world, or when Jesus returns to it. And there's going to be a new people who have got no restrictions and no oaths. No, we are going to be without spot or wrinkle or anything else. As St. John says, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in that moment, there will be a glorious new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. Ah, yes. You know, it's very easy for us as Christians to boast in our hearts about what we're doing, or what we want to do, or what we're achieving. Well, go on doing the things that you want to do and to achieve. But day by day, let our boast, says St. Paul, be he that boasts, boast in the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he's made our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. Therefore, he that boasts, boast in the Lord. You know, our churches can be talking about so many other things, but the one thing that we must talk about is Jesus Christ, who is made to us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That he who boasts, boasts in the Lord. That's the anthem of heaven. Let it be our anthem on earth. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, for all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Without him we should be lost, but with him, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, he is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. And therefore, let us, we pray, rejoice and rejoice in the Lord. And we ask it in his name. Amen.